You are now listening to the Providence Church Podcast. Providence Church is located in Lehigh Acres, Florida. Our mission is to glorify God by treasuring Christ, loving people, and making disciples. And now, Pastor Charlie Mitchell.
Good morning again to everyone. I don't get no good morning? All right. Oh, okay. All right. All right. Good morning. Good to see you all again. We missed last weekend. We were up in D.C., the other elders and I, and we had a wonderful time. It was a time of great encouragement for us as brothers and great encouragement. I came back with a renewed sense of vision for the church, the importance of the church, that God's master plan of executing and sending forth the kingdom of God in the world is through the church. And so for many of us, I know it happens to me too, many of us, church can just become a part of, you know, just everyday, just humdrum kind of Christianity. You go to church, you go home, you do this kind of thing. But no, we just came back refreshed, realizing and knowing that, man, we are called to serve the church, the bride of Christ, the primary means of salvation in the world. So what a glorious thing that we get to be a part of. And so we had a great time this weekend. If you have a Bible, please turn to 1 John chapter 1, and we'll be looking at verses 5 through 10. Today I'm concluding a series called FAQs, Common Questions About God and Faith. Common Questions About God and Faith. And so the first week we talked about, can the Bible be trusted? We use this Bible. We talk about it all the time. Again, if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in the back provided for you. You can follow along with us. We're going to refer to it a few times. And if you don't have a Bible, don't own one, you can take that home with you as a gift from us. But can that Bible be trusted? Is it just an old book that's out there that we can't really know if its origins have any relevance to our lives? And so we found that we could trust it. More than any other document that is out there in the world, we can't trust that Bible. And then we went on to ask further questions about heaven and hell. Are those places real? There's a lot of questions about the life to come. What will happen? And so we faced those questions. We faced those issues. And so this morning, I come to you and I answer a practical question. Maybe a question that you will face. And maybe you asked it yourself, wondering. And maybe someone has come up to you and asked you this particular question or some type of question like it. If Christianity is true, why are there so many hypocrites in the church? If Christianity is true, why are there so many hypocrites in the church? Now, questions like this can be hard to answer, firstly, because they can come off kind of offensive. They can come off offensive. So let me just set it up for you. Ladies, maybe someone has come up to you and said, maybe some guy, they've asked you, why are all women so talkative? Some of them come up to you, why are women just so talkative? And you're like, I'm personally not talkative. But I don't know why women are so talkative. Or, fellas, here's what the world wants to know from you via Google. I typed in, why are men so, and let Google do the rest. And here is what Google and the world would like to know from you. Why are men so selfish, mean, lazy, insensitive, insecure, confusing, sexually driven, and immature? They want to know all of that. So who of you men is able to answer this question eloquently for us all? Answering for all men, all throughout time and history, every culture, you will represent us as the masculine gender before the world and before Google. In reality, if you're wise, none of us would raise our hand to answer that question. Why? Simply because we are not able to answer on behalf of everybody. And so this is I'm going to just give you this, you know, this kind of teaching of prudence and wisdom. I've been asked several times, why do black people, why did all the black people vote for Obama? I don't know. I can only speak for this black person, but I cannot speak on behalf of all black people. So that's just something, ladies, don't ask men, why do all men? Fellas, don't ask the lady, why do all women? They can't answer. They can answer what their opinion is. But I today will answer on behalf of this particular question. If Christianity is true, why are there so many hypocrites in the church? And so I have to answer this question first as a Christian, just as a person who has gone to church most of his life. And I have to answer this question as a pastor who seeks to shepherd the people of God, saying, man, why is it so much junk that goes on in the church? And does this mean that our testimony is not valid? But let's look at this question just quickly. Let's look at the nature of this particular question. The nature of this particular question does not lay the offense upon you as the participant, the religious follower. The offense is laid at the foot of God. Listen again. If Christianity is true, dot, dot, dot. In other words, Christianity can be deemed as false because there is hypocrisy within the church. It's not you necessarily that the person is pointing at. They're pointing their finger, their eyes, their mind at God. And we should not be surprised at this type of question as it comes from those outside, as it comes from within us, especially as we read the news and see headlines of pastors falling into scandalous sin, as we hear about churches splitting apart over trivial sounding issues, as we hear about the rate of divorce in the church, as we hear about children who have been reared in the church but leave in droves. It should not be a surprise that this kind of question would come from naysayers and skeptics and those who are seeking and those who are weak believers even, or even a strong Christian. We shouldn't be surprised. I'm going to answer this question. And I fear that I will surprise some of you with the response. I will offend some of you. And I hope and pray that I encourage many of you. So let us look at 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Hear the word of God this morning. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So based upon this text this morning, here is what we should walk away saying. When someone asks us, why are there so many hypocrites in the church? Here's what you should say to them. Since Christianity is true, there will always be hypocrites in the church. Since it's true, there are always going to be hypocrites in the church. Hypocrisy. I'm going to just lay the foundation out there for anybody gets all riled up right now. Hypocrisy is a natural part of the human condition ever since Genesis 3. So when Adam and Eve sinned, we've always, everybody, every culture, all throughout history, had to deal with the problem of hypocrisy. Therefore, every institution has hypocrites within its ranks. So whether it's a school, whether it's a club, whether it's a business, whether it's law enforcement, whether it's, I don't care what it is, if it's your house, if there are people in your house, there are some hypocrites in there somewhere. I'm looking at a lot of blue chairs in here this morning. And I would imagine in a group this size, there's a hypocrite in here somewhere. I would just assume that. It's a safe assumption. So, there should be no surprise then that hypocrites are found within the church. Shouldn't be a surprise to us that hypocrites are found within our pews every Sunday morning. But the difference is, this is the only institution where our hypocrisy was made public upon our entrance into the church. It's the only place, unlike any other institution, where we can find help for our hypocrisy. So this should point us not to ourselves. This should point us to the one who is in fact no hypocrite and who is always faithful. So since Christianity is true, there will always be hypocrites in the church, namely because Christianity is based upon the testimony of God and not the people within it. Since Christianity is true, there will always be hypocrites in the church because this isn't built on man. This is built on God. Look again at verse 5. It says this: "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." So John is writing to believers to reassure them of the validity of the truth about Jesus Christ. That God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, and putting their faith in Christ assures them of eternal life. So false teachers had risen within the church and were seeking to destroy it, not from the outside, but from the inside out. So many of these false teachers, they began as Sunday school teachers. Many of the false teachers that John is addressing went to the church picnics. Many of the false teachers that were within their ranks were serving in the church nursery. But over time, they began to say false things about themselves and began to say false things about God. And so now people are wondering. They're wavering back and forth on the testimony of Jesus Christ. But John comes in strongly here in verse 5, the first part of verse 5, and he says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you." In other words, this message about Jesus Christ is not my personal message. I'm not speaking to you as a man who concocted this story. No, we have heard this from God himself. So John is not speaking on his own accord. We've got to realize John is speaking as an ambassador on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we speak? How can John speak with such conviction on behalf of Jesus? How can we then speak to our friends, neighbors, co-workers on behalf of Jesus with such clarity and with such conviction? We can do it because he has revealed himself to us. God is light. And what does light do? Light shines in the darkness. And in this text, John is showing us that God is the light of self-revelation. That God is the light of illumination, removing the darkness of ignorance. That God is also the light which is pure and righteous and holy. So John goes further to say, and in him is no darkness at all. So unlike me, unlike you and unlike those who claim the name of Jesus, God is infinitely pure. God is infinitely righteous. God is infinitely perfect in all his attributes. And so he stands alone as the ever faithful God. So we may wither, we may fall, we may lean, but God does not. James 1:17 says it like this: every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of who? The Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. What a good word that is for us. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. So it is by his word that this whole thing holds together, so that we may then reflect him in the world. So we're just the first fruits of his creatures. We're not the end all be all. The buck stops with God, the ever faithful one, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of change. So Christianity hinges upon the infallible, unchanging word of God. So I would ask the question to those who say this type of question, wonder about the reality of the church. They would say, man, there's so much hypocrisy. There's so much junk going on in there. Can you really believe all of this stuff? And I would ask them, have you truly weighed the words of Jesus Christ? Have you truly looked at Scripture and seen it for yourself? We've just done several weeks ago, we've looked all throughout history and saw that the Word of God has never been found wanting. It has never been found to have a mistake. It has never been found to deceive those who read it and follow its ways. And then again, I would say, look at Jesus. Jesus was the only man to live on this earth who was in fact no hypocrite. In 2,000 years, his words have never been found to be false. Therefore, his declarations that he is God, his declarations that there should be repentance and faith in him, must be weighed with sobriety and humbly submitted to. So, there will always be hypocrites in the church, but this ain't built on the hypocrites. This is built on God. But Christianity can be true then. All right, I get that. So it can be true, but not all the people are necessarily genuine or true. So that brings us to our second point. Since Christianity is true, there will always be hypocrites in the church, because you can claim to be one thing and actually be another. We see this played out in verses 6, 8, and 10. Listen to these verses. They reveal a striking pattern that we got to pay attention to. This is what it says: if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So did you catch that dichotomy there? You can say a whole lot of stuff, but there was something about your life that must match up with what you have said. And if they don't match up, then it is not God who is the liar. It is you all. So there are teachers who profess faith in Jesus Christ with their mouth, but their conduct is inconsistent with their testimony. So John is making a statement here that there are those among you in the church, whether false teacher, whether a fellow member sitting next to you in the pew, who's talking, but they're not walking what it is they say. Let me go on even further. There are those who gather among us in the church who say they're in a relationship with God. They say they are encouraged by the preaching every week. They say they are reading the word and it is impacting their life. They are saying all the right things. They're saying all the right things. But listen to me. It doesn't matter what you say. I need to look at your life to be able to see if this testimony is true. This testimony is true. Here's what John Stott had to say on this particular passage. The effect of the light is not just to make people see. The light is there to enable them to do what? Walk. So now that we've seen the truth, okay, we see it. I see the scriptures. I see what they have to say. But the light is not just there just to make us see it and do nothing. No, your word is a lamp unto my feet so that I may hear it and follow your word. I may walk in the ways of righteousness, not just take it back and say, oh, how I've seen this. So we must be careful with those around us who speak Christian jargon and claim affiliation with Jesus Christ. Don't give them a free pass. This is what is so deceiving about what we see on TBN or when you hear prosperity preachers or you hear televangelists. We give them a free pass because they say, I'm a preacher. We give them a free pass because they say they're in a church. And we have not paid close attention to their walk. Is this in line with the truth of Scripture? And not only is it in line, but does their walk align with it? So we must be careful with that. The question is, are you bearing fruit in step with repentance? See, when you ask that question, that cuts away at all the fluff of what you just told me. I'm praying, I'm doing all this stuff. All right, cool. I'm glad that you told me that. I'm reading the Bible. Okay, I'm glad. Now, how'd your week go? How'd it go this week? You were talking. Did the tone of your did your volume change when you talked to your wife? How did it go this week? Did you fall back into the same rut of sin again? Did you click on the internet and go back to the same websites, knowing that? How is it going? So that cuts away. And so what we should be looking for in people's lives is not sterile, good-looking, put-together folks, but we should be looking deeper. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, genuine repentance, genuine walking with the Lord is marked by obedience to the Scriptures. And if not marked by obedience to the Scriptures, a deep desire, I want to follow the Scriptures. I'm going to fall into sin again and again and again, but all I want to do is I'm fighting this sin. And affirming the profession that God is light. So, friends, this is a crazy one because I'll tell you this. You can meet someone who does all good things. They give a lot of money to philanthropy, and they help children in Africa, and they eat good. They don't eat Oreos. They're a vegetarian because it's healthy for their body. They don't swear. They read good books. They read, John Maxwell, and they read, Dave Ramsey, and they're a wise person, and they're very nice to people, all kinds of things. That's cool. And they would say, well, I don't trust Jesus. Well, don't trust them. Why? Because you can be a good person and still not affirm that the message that has come from him, that God is light, that's the profession we're making. So you can do a lot of good moral things and still not be walking in the light. So friends, you have no reason to be dismayed at the claims of hypocrites filling the church. Because this is nothing new. They have been among us since the beginning. And God will then, in the end, judge between the real and the fake. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13. He says, He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master's house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn." So Jesus, he's not even surprised. Simply put, God is doing genuine work in the lives of people within the church. Yet, there will be those among us who have been planted by the evil one in order to cast doubt on the victorious power of the kingdom of heaven. So there's always going to be, when people look at the church, they're going to go, "Man, I don't know, because there's a bunch of weeds in there." Oh, but God says, "I will be the one who will sift between the wheat, those whom I have planted, and the weeds, those whom have been planted by the enemy. They will be collected and burned." So we don't have to worry. So you can claim one thing and be another, but there are those who truly are walking in the light. This brings us to our third point. Since Christianity is true, there will always be hypocrites in the church, because fellowship with God exposes sin in believers, exposes sin in true Christians. Fellowship with him is going to expose us. At its core, listen to this, because in our minds, and I know culturally, especially being in the South, that the church has a connotation that those are righteous people, those are good-looking people. And so we gotta like get that kind of put together in our mind, and we try to act like that, and that's not really who we are. Check this out. At its core, the church is a collective of sinners who have joined together in acknowledging their sinfulness and their desperate need for a Savior. So the church is a bunch of broken, busted up people. And we've come here going, singing the song like we just sang, "Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you." But somewhere along the line, we bought into this whole thing, "Oh, when I get out in the street, I'm going to act all put together proper and all this." But if you're in the church, especially if you claim the name of Jesus, you're a sinner. So we shouldn't be shocked by this. So look at verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So if we walk in the light, drawing near to God, he has promised that we will have relationship with him. Listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 3. He says this, "And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed," put out in front of everybody. But listen to verse 21. "But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." So we fear coming to the church. Many of my friends that I've pleaded, "Man, come to the Lord, bro. I mean, come to church. Trust Jesus. Like, yo, let's read the Bible together." No, why don't they want to come? "Man, if I come to church, man, y'all talking about confession and y'all, let me get cleaned up first." And I'm going, no, the church is the place where you come to get clean. If you could get cleaned up first, I'm bringing you to the one who cleanses. I'm not telling you to cleanse yourself. You can't do it. And so I'm reminded of something Erin told me early on in her training as a nurse. She told me about the exercise they had to do when they were learning about hygiene. And so she said they told us to go into a bathroom and wash our hands. So all these nurses in training went into the bathroom and they washed their hands. And they had read that chapter, I guess, on that section and what they were supposed to do. So they cleaned themselves very well and they came back into the classroom. Well, the teacher then put a black light over everyone's hands. And what do you think they found? More dirt. And so now they go back into the bathroom and they wash again. Then they go back out and they go, look again. There's more dirt there. There's more grit there. There's more germs there. And so that's like us. That's like us. We've come into the light now. No matter what we do, as long as I'm in this body of flesh, ain't nothing I can do. I can come to the Lord and He keeps cleansing me. That's why I love the blood of Jesus. It cleanses me from all my sin. And so, but whoever comes to the light, man, that it may be clearly seen that this has been carried out in God. This isn't you. So there are those who among us who we draw near to the light. And what happens when you come into the light? You get seen for what you are. More shortcomings get exposed. You begin to see more pride. You begin to see more, I just don't like these people. You begin to see more of the stuff, the bitterness and resentment against folk. That's with a saint that's been walking with the Lord for 40 years. There's still junk in there that needs to be weeded out and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And that was the lie that these men and women had begun to say. I don't have sin in me. I've been walking with the Lord. I'm free of that. What is that? That's pride. And you need some more Jesus. So, isn't it good that God's blood cleanses us? God's blood reconciles us. God's love forgives us of our hypocrisies. But some of you may be hypocritical because you're not always practicing what you preach. I think that's most of us. I would assume that's most of us. We've been found to be hypocritical because we have not practiced what we preach. Whether it's a father who snaps at his child out of anger, a wife who murmurs under her breath because of what her husband just said, or a child who disrespects their parents, others have seen it and say you're a hypocrite. May the word of God in verse 9 bring you comfort. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I must admit to you that even now while I'm preaching this sermon, I have someone in my ear saying, you're a hypocrite. There is the accuser of the brethren that says, Charlie, you didn't live up to any of this week in preparation for this sermon. You know you're a hypocrite. You didn't do it, but I got to look at verse 9 right here. If I confess my sins, He, not me, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we are those, listen, we are those who flip-flop, who deceive people, who wander away from the truth of God, who change, but thank God He is the one who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is faithful, never changing, abounding in steadfast love and slow to anger. And because He is just, having placed all our unrighteousness upon Christ on the cross, we can be made righteous in His sight. So when I confess my sins before the Lord, He doesn't see a hypocrite. He sees His Son's Jesus' blood all over me. He sees His Son. And so this is why I love to sing the song we sing from time to time, before the throne of God above. Listen to what it says. When Satan tempts me to despair, you're a hypocrite, you're a hypocrite, you're a hypocrite, and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see Him there, who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. So, Christian, dear friend, your hypocrisy is going to raise its ugly head all the time. But rest assured that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all unrighteousness. So, close to closing, I have two admonitions for you. One based on verse 10. And it echoes what Sean read in Matthew. Woe to you hypocrites. Woe to you hypocrites. If we listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 23, those can be some scalding hot words that we immediately want to kind of cool off and kind of set them up to where they don't really sting too bad. So listen, woe to you hypocrites. Now, this is a word for me, especially, and for those of us who have grown up in church for a long time, this can be very perceptive because we know the right words to say, when to say them, how to act, how to dress, how everything, we know all the church jargon, we know all this stuff. So we got to be real careful that I got to listen to those words. Woe to me. Why? Because I know how to pull the wool over somebody's eyes. I know the right verses to tell you. Charlie, what you been reading in the Word? Man, you know, I just been meditating on the Lord. And, the Lord he just been so good to me this week. Now, I just came from home arguing with my wife, snapping at my kids, and, you know, cussing out everybody driving down the road. And so I get here, and I know how to put it together. So woe to you hypocrites. Be careful. There are those of you sitting here today who believe you are, because, listen, I'm not a preacher like you, Charlie. So all that pressure you're talking about, it ain't on me. You represent Jesus Christ in the world just as much as I do. Just because because I got a title in front of my name that says pastor, elder at Providence Church, doesn't mean you have any less damaging power to the kingdom of God. You do. Paul tells Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this. Why? Why does he say persist in watching your life closely? For by doing so, you will save both yourself and those who listen to you. So this is written to a minister, but it has implications for those of us who walk around in society and claim the name of Jesus Christ. This is written, because hypocrites, your life teaches something about God. Your life is saying something about God. I don't care if you prayed at work. I don't care if you made phone calls to your friends and family and say, man, I go to church now and the Lord is doing something in my life. Your life teaches something about who Jesus Christ is. And what they teach is, hypocrites teach that God is a liar. That's what verse 10 says. We make him a liar. That's why the question is, if Christianity is true, why are there so many hypocrites? Because your life can tell the world that God is a liar. And making a liar out of God creates a stumbling block to gospel proclamation. Jesus said it best in Matthew 5, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Second, hypocrites are in grave danger. If it's not checked, David says it like this in Psalm 101. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. David, being a man of God, loving the truth of God, loving the name and proclamation of the Lord, he says, if you're a liar and you're in my house, you're getting put out. No one who practices deceit is going to dwell comfortably with me in its vicinity. So how much more is the holy God who in him no darkness dwells? adamant about us walking in the light and being honest about our shortcomings. The second admonition I would have is this: encouragement for hypocritical sinners. Verses 7-9. God is so good that he has made provision to remedy hypocritical people like you and I. He's made provision to remedy us of our hypocrisy. His blood cleanses. His justice makes righteous. He is faithful. So come confessing so that you may be forgiven and cleansed. I know some of you are afraid to preach the gospel, share the gospel with a friend, family member, co-worker, because you know they know a different side of you than what we would know here in the church. Some of you are afraid to take the message of Jesus Christ to a neighbor who you've done something to, co-worker who you've short-sighted, your family member who knows all kinds of dirt on you. You're afraid to share the gospel with them. Why? Because they're going to call me a hypocrite. What have we just discussed this whole time? You are a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite. But who isn't a hypocrite? Jesus. This isn't built on you. This isn't built on you. You're sharing Jesus. You're sharing the love of God. You're sharing the ever faithful truth about who God is. He is not a hypocrite. He is faithful. And check this out. What else does he say? And in your weakness, he is made strong. In your hypocrisy, God can be glorified. God can be glorified. So when you're angry, when you get angry at your children, confess. When you laugh at an inappropriate joke at work with your family and with coworkers, confess. And watch the Lord use your confession to draw somebody to Christ. Why did you do that? Why did Charlie, I know you. Why did you come back and say you're sorry for joining into that discussion? What's going on with you? Man, the Lord is doing something in my heart. I don't know, but I can't enjoy things like that anymore. But Charlie, you always do. I know, but it's a struggle. But the Lord is doing something in me. So don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. I know some of us have many sins, and we can go inside, internal, and look it around, and a word like this about hypocrisy can break us down. Don't lose hope. Your fellowship is with God. Walking in the light means that you are secure and God is sanctifying you. But if there's more sin that keeps popping up, you keep finding more sin. Man, I thought I had dealt with this. You're in the light now. He's revealing more stuff. If you go weeks and months and you go, man, I'm just overcoming. Ain't nothing just, wow, you know, the Lord's just blessing me. I ain't sinned in like 3 months. You need to be real careful, okay? But if every day you're waking up and you're struggling, you're going, man, Lord, there's, oh, Lord, help me. It's all right. You're dwelling in the light, and he's going to expose more stuff in you. So you're being conformed into the image of God. You're becoming less yourself and more like Jesus. So how does all this apply to us? How do we fight hypocrisy in the church? You fight hypocrisy in the church by walking in the light. Quickly, I'll say this. Number one, don't be self-deceived. Don't punk yourself. Don't play yourself. We believe our own hype. We do. We are tempted to believe our own lies. I'll believe a lie I tell myself quicker than any lie anybody else tells me. We should be cautious of ourselves. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? That's what Jeremiah 17:9 says. Watch your mouth and life and what you are believing carefully. Is what I say matching up with what I do? Are they matching up? And if they are not, man, let me call on the Lord to help me. Let me call on him to help me. And don't believe that because you're doing all the right things, that you're not a hypocrite. Church attendance, tithing, doing some community service are not all ultimate marks of Christian maturity. The funny thing about all that stuff I just said, attendance on a regular basis, giving money, doing community service, atheists are doing that. Atheists are meeting every Sunday morning doing something, I don't know. They're giving money. They're going out into the community and helping people. So how is it? What is different about us is no, we are not doing it in and of ourselves. We're crying out to the one who is doing it in us. Funny thing is, Satan has sat in church every day. Every Sunday since church began, Satan has sat in church on the front row. Partaking, listening to every sermon. So, is your life matching up with what you profess? Here's an example. The reason why we have a church covenant is to help us to walk and talk the same thing. The reason why we have church discipline is to help us to walk and talk the same thing. Our church covenant says this. This is the first thing it says on our church covenant, if you're a member. I will endeavor to maintain family and personal devotion with the Lord through regular Bible reading, prayer, fellowship, and practice of other spiritual disciplines. I commit to educate my children in the Christian faith. My walk with Christ will be evident through my regular participation in the corporate worship services. Check this now. Accountability to other members of the body and involvement in a life group. That's a tall order. That's a tall order. Endeavor to maintain. I will work to maintain this. But Bible reading can fall by the wayside. Church attendance can fall by the wayside. Accountability with others is an easy one to avoid. Listen, I'm busy this week. Things are crazy at home. I can't meet with you, Pastor Frank. Charlie, listen, I would love to get together with you, but, you know, this week has just been, it's easy not to be, hold myself accountable. And if you're not, listen, I know a wave of guilt just went whoosh over people and they're like, oh man, I ain't ready. Oh geez. Listen, what did the word just say to us? Confess. He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. So if you confess your sin, begin again. Today, begin again. Second thing, cultivate genuine fellowship. Cultivate genuine fellowship. The reason many of us are hypocrites is we try to hide our sin. We try to hide it. It's kind of like our garages. It's all packed up with junk. You go in there to get one thing, open the door, the whole thing just kind of floods out on us. And so what happens? We hide our sin. Why are we hiding? Why are we trying to shove it? We don't want to be in the light, and we don't trust people. We all got trust issues. I know some of you have been hurt by the church. Been hurt by people in the church. Man, y'all are a bunch of hypocrites. And you got stories, line items, where they've been hypocrites, and I've seen it happen. We've all got trust issues. But I know that you can overcome trust issues because I didn't see any one of you turn around and look at that little blue chair to see if it can hold you up. You walked right in, and you sat right down. For me, being a 350-pound man, man, I got trust issues too, but I sat right down in that chair comfortably. So I can overcome. You can overcome. You can deal with these things. But hiding your sin, that's not the answer. But walking in the light gives us open fellowship and deep relationship, not only with God, but with others. Walking in the light means open, honest confession and conversation with other Christians. I mean, so join the church. If you're hesitant, join the church. Like, dig in. Don't stay on the fringes while I'm trying to wait to see. No, this is a call for you. You, will you be a hypocrite? Will you continue to spurn the word of God? No. When we go to life group this afternoon, share your own shortcomings and weaknesses. Not the shortcomings and weaknesses of Providence Church. Not the shortcomings and weaknesses of your husband or your wife. Not the shortcomings and weaknesses of everybody else in the room. Share your own shortcomings. Get in some genuine relationship. Begin to pursue discipleship. Pursue it. Don't just wait. Well, I'm waiting for Pastor Sean to get back to me. No, you need it because this is your soul we're talking about. and openly confess your sins to God and others. This is going to be the hardest thing for all of us. Confess your sins to God. Why can you confess your sins to God? Because he's faithful and he's not a hypocrite. So he ain't going to turn his back on you. Confess your sins to God because he can cleanse you and transform you. Confess your sins to others because the Bible says so. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power at his working. Some of us are dealing with sin, all the time, same sin, because we haven't opened it up to anybody. Haven't let the light of God shine in on it. Haven't had anybody praying for us. Haven't had the word of God applied to it. So confess your sin with a brother or a sister in Christ. That's why we got life group. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Proverbs 28:13. Confess. Husbands, confess to your wife. I know it's hard. I had to do it last night as I got into bed because I was going to preach this sermon this morning. Babe, I'm sorry. I put you through a lot. Please forgive me. Parents, confess to your children. You snapped on them. You got angry. You went stomping out, slamming doors. Confess to your children. Listen, son, daughter, I'm sorry. I'm a sinful man. It's so humiliating sometimes. Come to a 3-year-old child and say I was angry. But it keeps me humble. Confess to your friends and neighbors. Confess to your coworkers when you've done something wrong. And watch the Lord do his work. We fight hypocrisy in the church by walking in the light of God. What a beautiful thing. So as we close, this is it. Praise God. There will always be hypocrites in the church. Praise God. There will always be hypocrites in the church. If you were standing on the outside asking that question, standing on the outside, there's so many hypocrites in there. I think it was Zig Ziglar who said, we got room for one more. So I invite you to join in with us. We're sinners. I'm at church because I'm a sinner and I need help. So join us. Not because we're any better. We're here because God is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins and to cleanse you as well from your sins and your unrighteousness. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you are the God of Jacob. Jacob being a deceiver. Jacob being a man who did not deserve your goodness and mercy, but you declare numerous times in the scriptures that you are the God of Jacob. That you are the one who will protect and who will care for and who will clean up and cleanse and forgive. You are the one who are slow to anger, and you are so merciful. You are so merciful. And so, Lord, I pray that is the God that we would bow our knee to this morning. That we would not run in fear because, yes, we are hypocrites. The word says it. Even Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners. I do what I don't want to do, and I keep trying to do the right thing, and I keep falling back into the same thing. But where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. You are the faithful God. You won't turn your back on us. Lord, help us to come to you walking in the light, taking every little step, realizing that we have more and more shortcomings, realizing more and more that we have more sin than we could even imagine. But Lord, you cleanse us. You cleanse us. You love us. You've adopted us as your children. And so, Lord, we thank you this morning. May that word bring relief to those who are condemned by the accuser, who calls them a hypocrite. And may that word from you, O Lord, draw us to you and not push us away. In Jesus' name I pray.